and welcome to everyone. It's good to speak to you all again. Today we're starting a new series on the Book of Acts. It seems appropriate on this, the Sunday after Easter, because that's where Acts starts. I want to open with a prayer. Father, as you have blessed me in the preparation of this message, may these words bless those who hear them. You have provided a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to continue Jesus' work in our lives, especially during trying times. May this happen for us today. Amen. In last week's Easter message, Mark Landrum from Christian Witness to Israel focused on three of the feasts that marked the Jewish calendar. These feasts, the Passover, the first fruits, and Pentecost, point to God and his caring for his people by redeeming them and forgiving their sins. There was the Passover. God's people are protected by the blood of the sacrificed lamb put on the doorposts. Then the first fruits. It was the day after the Sabbath, after the Passover, the day that Jesus rose. And then there was Pentecost, 50 days after first fruits, when the rest of the harvest is celebrated. Redemption is not the end. We are to enjoy the blessing of God living with us, and ultimately, us living with God. Worth noting here that Jewish people counted the current day as being day one, so in 7 weeks' time should be 49 plus one. Today makes 50. So when Jesus was crucified on the Friday and rose on the Sunday, that was the third day. Today we'll be looking at the first 11 verses of chapter 1 in Acts. Bear in mind, we are looking at what happened during the 40 days, starting on Easter Sunday, up until Jesus went up to heaven. What can we expect to find when we look at the Book of Acts? A fisherman talks to a crowd amidst opposition, and 3,000 are converted. A church that gets opposition from the authorities, but grows anyway. We find a church that has people problems inside it, but grows anyway. We find a church where people suffer, but grow in their faith as a result. There are riots and plots and beatings and shipwrecks and people, yes, lots of people being saved. Imprisonments, miracles, angels, people being healed. What made all of this possible? Jesus sent the promised Holy Spirit. Acts gives us an insight into the start of the early church that is unique. Much of what we learn there is found nowhere else. We'll have a quick overview of the book. Now I'm going to share the screen so that I can put up that overview. I hope you can see the outline of Acts there. I have in the chart, we'll see this outline, and you can, if you want to, you can actually pause the video to study the outline more closely. In chapters 1 to 7, the church is established and grows in Jerusalem. In chapters 8 to 12, the church spreads to Judea and Samaria. And in chapters 13 to 28, the church reaches to the ends of the earth. Spanning the years from AD 33 to about AD 63, the book ends with Paul the Apostle as a prisoner in Rome. But the fact that you are hearing this today indicates Jesus is still at work. There are some special themes in Acts. As you would expect, Jesus is prominent throughout. His resurrection is a constant theme. The Holy Spirit was promised four times in John's Gospel and he is evident in every event in Acts. Churches are started all over the empire. We get to hear the names of so many places as missionary work spreads the gospel. There are at least 110 people personally named in Acts, apart from the groups of people mentioned. But the key names are Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. I'll switch back now. This book is commonly called the Acts of the Apostles, but a more accurate name could be the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Luke starts by saying, "In my first book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." In Acts, he describes what Jesus continues to do by giving his people Holy Spirit power. The message about the Passover last week reminds us of what the Israelites were saved from. God delivered his people from slavery. Today, I want you to consider two questions as we go through the story. What did Good Friday save you from? What did Easter Sunday save you to? The answer to these two questions can provide us with our life's purpose. I think the disciples, in their own way, had to wrestle with the answers to these questions also. After the crucifixion, the disciples' future was uncertain. One of their number, Judas, had committed suicide. Their teacher, Jesus, was arrested, tried, and killed. They had escaped and were hiding behind locked doors, afraid of the Jewish leaders. You might say they were in isolation. But then some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. We are told of five appearances of Jesus on that resurrection day. John's Gospel tells us of Mary Magdalene. Matthew mentions other women who saw him. Mark and Luke tell of the two on the road to Emmaus. And Luke says Peter has seen him. And then, in the evening, he appeared to 10 of the disciples, Thomas and Judas being absent. Plus, there were others with them. Wow, what were they to think? Jesus was alive? Now what? The two Emmaus disciples had just recounted their story about Jesus walking and talking with them. The doors are locked and suddenly, do you remember the story? Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Shalom." That is what they needed right now, peace. Luke goes on to say, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. He did not believe it. While they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. And John tells us that a week later, Jesus again appeared to the disciples and Thomas was with them and confirms, "Jesus as my Lord and my God." When Mary Magdalene was at the tomb on that Sunday morning, the angel had told her to tell his disciples and Peter, "He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And that is where the last chapter of John's Gospel takes us, to the fishing trip at night on the Sea of Galilee. And there, in the morning, is Jesus on the shore with a cooked breakfast waiting for them. Three times now, Jesus has appeared to his disciples as a group. The last chapter of Luke's Gospel tells the story of the resurrection, the ascension, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Luke sums up all of this in his simple statement in Acts chapter 1 with verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. What more did Jesus have to say to these disciples after he rose? What questions did they have? What else did they need to know? I can remember as a new Christian, I had lots of questions. Maybe you did too. It seems that so much changes, it's like starting a new life. Well, it is. What am I expected to do now? How do I relate to my non-believing parents? Some of the things I would normally do just don't seem right anymore, like swearing and disrespecting others. It was hard to not keep carrying on with the guys that I used to kick around with. And meeting with other Christians and studying the Bible seems so important now. Here are my answers to the questions that I asked you. What did Good Friday save you from? What did Easter Sunday save you to? For me, my life had no purpose. I had pranged my car. I had had a run-in with the police. I was always arguing with my parents. My life was going nowhere. That Jesus cared about me and died for my sin meant that he valued me. Jesus took my place on the cross. And God says, that's good enough for him. I'm forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. That's when the struggle began. I suddenly started caring about things I saw that I needed to change in my life. I couldn't stop doing some things easily. I tried to talk nicely to my parents, but they just upset me more. I needed to start to rely on God's power to help me change my attitudes. I needed his power to be a witness. Power to live in a way that would honour my Lord. The swearing stopping was the first thing that changed. My relationship with my parents took longer, but we eventually became close. So what did Good Friday save you from? What did Easter Sunday save you to? I wondered what questions the disciples may have asked Jesus. You could probably imagine some yourself. Why did you have to die? What will happen to all the animal sacrifices now? The temple curtain was torn. What does that mean? What should we do? The soldiers are spreading the story that we stole your body and that's why the tomb was empty. We thought you were the one who would redeem Israel. How can that happen now? How can we do what you've been doing if you're not here? Before they could comprehend the answers to all their questions and the instructions he wanted to give them, Jesus had to open their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. This was a beautiful, deliberate act by Jesus to allow the Holy Spirit to guide their thinking. They all knew the scriptures, but needed help to understand them, just like we do. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates when that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." "But Lord, that could take forever." Well, maybe not forever. So the answer to the most important questions were answered in verse 8, the key verse in Acts. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So after the 7 days of Passover celebration, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, away from the events in Jerusalem. Peter took them fishing to start with, and then they had to get their heads around all that had happened, as Jesus explains how everything must be fulfilled that is written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And now they have returned to Jerusalem and are instructed to wait. Stay put and wait. I've heard that said a bit lately. But they were anticipating getting a gift from God. That was worth waiting for. They were across the valley from the city, up on their favourite meeting place on the Mount of Olives. From there, they could look over the whole city of Jerusalem. There was still one question that had not been answered. When will Israel be redeemed? This was the hope expressed by the Emmaus walkers. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" This was a legitimate question, and Jesus is not rebuking them for asking when he answers, but is letting them know that there is something that has to happen first. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." This cloud was not just a fluffy white cloud that drifted by at that moment. It was the bright cloud of the Shekinah glory, the same cloud that had overshadowed the tabernacle in the wilderness and had filled the temple. This was Jesus returning to his heavenly home with his Father. Jesus was being glorified. Heaven would be his home until his return to the same place that he's leaving from. Zechariah 14, verse 4 says, "On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. And a river of living water will flow out from Jerusalem." What a sight that will be. So they stayed together and prayed a lot and were continually at the temple praising God. Please think about the two questions. Perhaps share your answers on Zoom. What did Good Friday save you from? What did Easter Sunday save you to? Our lives are now to be lived with the presence of God. We are on a journey with Him, with trials and testings along the way. May God bless you all. Amen.